Let's pray for the word, Father. Bless now your word to our hearts. Allow me to speak and these lips to speak your truth. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that, Lord, our ears would be open to hear, our hearts would be circumcised to receive it, and with gladness, with all of our will, we would say, Lord, let us live it out and do it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, something that we are all very, very, very familiar with and doing is what I'm doing right now. I'm walking, and I guess we begin to walk from the time we're like, what do they call it? Toddlers, right? That's where the name comes from, right? They toddle, and they get on their two legs, and they start to walk, and we get used to walking. Some like to walk more than others. Some don't like it as much. Some walk might come from a grandmother who was known for her walking. There were legendary stories of her walking and her walking prowess. Walking, those of you who know Philadelphia, walking from more than the length of Broad Street. She used to go back and forth to see, I think, some children during the Depression that were not living with her or whatever. And she would walk from South Philadelphia all the way up into Jenkintown and all the way back. I don't know if it was every day, and Grandma walked everywhere. So she was a walker. Walking's pretty good. And as yesterday rolled around, it was warm out, and Meg didn't even have to ask me, and I said, I want to get out front, get the hose out, hose down all this salt, the front windows, all that stuff. She started doing work, stuff, and then she said, hey, do you want to take a walk? And I was like, yeah. So we took a walk. And it's nice, because finally it was nice to get out, not, worry with the crazy weather you've been having. But when we talk about walking, and we talk about it in relation to the Word of God or Scriptures or with God, you already heard this morning, God's desire is to be with us, to choose to love us, to make us His own, and He wants to walk with us. He wants to walk with us. In the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, after the creation of man, the man and the woman were in the garden. And after they sinned, we see the scripture that says that God came to walk with them. Genesis chapter 3. And they heard the voice of God, the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And you get the sense from what we're reading is this was seemingly some type of, habit or manner by which God would get with them and spend time with them. And they would join him, it seems to be. It doesn't say that specifically, but you kind of get the sense they would join him in this walk through this beautiful creation. And on this day, because of their sin, when God came to walk, they hid themselves from him. And the walk as they once knew it, that beautiful, intimate walk in time with him ended because of their sin. God called Adam's name. Adam answered in fear. And ever since that day, our walk with the Lord has been impeded. The opportunity to walk with him as he desires was no longer the same. But we see in Scripture, and I have a lot of Scriptures this morning. Don't know if I'll read them all, but I may refer to some of them, and you can consume them by reading them later. But we see all throughout Scripture this desire that God has, the intention that God has to walk with us, for us to walk with Him. Not too long after the fall, when we see the Scripture's talking about all of the different generations that come forth from Adam and Eve. We hear about a man named Enoch who walked with God and pleased God so much that God just kept walking with him one day and just took him. Just took him. It's interesting that it talks about in Genesis that Noah, he said he walked with God, that he was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. God called this guy Abraham. And he said, go on a walk. I'll show you where you're going to go. Just go on a walk. But then he says to him later, after he had been in the land that God showed him for a bit of time, in Genesis 17, it says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, and he said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I'll make my covenant between me and you and multiply you exceedingly. We see throughout Scripture as we continue on, God walking with Israel after he liberated them from their bondage in Egypt. Walking with them with a pillar of fire by day and the cloud by night. Through the times of walking with them, he walked with them in that desert longer than they should have walked because of, again, their stubbornness and their sin and the rebellion against God. But that was a time of teaching them through those desert walks. And it says in Deuteronomy 5, but as for you, stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which you shall teach them, and that they may observe them in the land which I am giving them to possess. Therefore, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside from the right hand or to the left. In verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that I may be well with you, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. David talks a lot about walking. He talks about it in the positive and the negative sense. You know, just in Psalm 1, right out of the gate, he talks about those who aren't walking right with God. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you're blessed if you're walking with God, but you're not blessed if you're walking with the counsel on the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We know the wonderful shepherd psalm, that when we do walk here through the valley of death, he's going to be walking there with us. David even cried out in Psalm 116:9, or the psalmist cried out in 116:9, I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. The heartbeat goes on and on of this desire that God has to walk with us. And it's a premise that we see even into other scriptures. In Micah 6:8, listen to these scriptures, 6-8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Jeremiah reminds us in Jeremiah 6:16, thus the Lord says, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So walking with God is not an activity that is just reserved for the Enochs or the Noahs or the Abrahams. Though we see their stories of walking with God, we see that the scripture really says God wants to walk with us. He desires that walk with us. He desires to walk with his people, his children. Now, you know, you've taken a walk many times, and some of you really like to walk alone, but sometimes you really enjoy a walk with somebody else. You're a very good friend, you know, maybe your spouse, you know, child, you know, somebody very close to you, and you walk. And you take a walk, and you're wherever you choose to walk, I mean, you're just walking with them, and you're enjoying the time together. And yes, you may notice your surroundings, and you may point out here and there certain things as you walk, but the real idea of that walking together when you're walking with somebody, and even if you're walking for exercise, you're walking with somebody, and you're enjoying the fellowship. You're enjoying the communion. You're enjoying the time together. Invariably, you're going to probably, most likely, carry on conversations with them. You laugh, you listen, you share thoughts, you share experiences. Your attention is focused on that person, on that individual. Maybe to the exclusion of everything else. Now, one of the bad things to do, and I found this out a lot on Friday, because I saw this like 3 times in one car ride. People in their phone walking by themselves like this and walking right into traffic. I'm not kidding. 3 times. 2 times with the cars in front of me. 1 time was my car, and I had to, like, And they looked up and went like startled. They had no, they were oblivious. That's a bad walking. You don't, you know, walk with your phone like this. But when you're walking with somebody else, you're walking to the point where you may not even notice a lot of things about you. You're so engrossed in the conversation because you're enjoying that time with them. See, walking with God should be like that. It's what He desires that walk to be. It should become something we look forward to, something that is the greatest desire of our heart, to know Him, to hear Him, to share thoughts with Him, to seek Him, to please Him, just having Him be the consuming focus of everything about our lives. He becomes everything to us when we walk closely with Him. So meeting with Him is not just an activity when you come to church or to Bible study or when you just maybe take a few minutes for your devotional. It becomes an all-day event, walking with God. You know, when you're walking with God or you're walking with somebody else, that walk begins that usually that means if you're going to walk with somebody, you have to say no to other things. In other words, you may have something to do, but you're saying, you know what? It's more important that I spend this time walking with you and talking with you and spending this time with you. And you say no. You say no to things that might distract you or things that will keep you from, you know, enjoying that walk. Now, picture that same walk I was saying earlier with a close friend or a loved one. Picture that walk, but picture that same walk now with all kind of distractions. Maybe you agreed to walk, but you really didn't want to walk with them, so your mind is consumed about so many different things. So as they're talking, you're kind of, And, or maybe your mind is so many other thoughts that you may even be just like muttering to yourself, or you're in your own little world, and as they're trying to like have a nice conversation, you're like whistling and looking around and blah, 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 blah. Or just, you're just distracted. You may be disillusioned. You know, you're disappointed in something, you know, and it takes away from that. You may be walking with some fear or questions. You may be walking with somebody and you can't enjoy the walk with them because there's something between you two and you need to get it out, but you don't want to start something. You don't want to get it out. So you have these unanswered questions or unasked questions, you know, and it messes up the whole walk, the whole vibe. Or if you're just doing it to doing it, you get bored and it becomes repetitious. See, that can become our walks with God. We can allow distractions to inhibit our walk with God, to minimize our walk with God. We can allow those distractions to take away from the beauty of it and the peace of it and the joy of it. And those things can come in so many ways. You know, we can label them broadly as sin, but it could be just habits that we have fallen into that have taken away the times that we really should be spending with the Lord. We've gotten to very unhealthy habits. Maybe we're so filled up with the distraction of worldly, you know, entertainments or unhealthy other relationships. And it all takes away from this walk with the Lord that He desires to have with us. And I can tell you, there's no doubt that God, who is holy and perfect, as Robert said earlier, who needs nothing, desires to walk with us. And when God desires to walk with us, if the walk is not right, it's not because of Him, it's us. He's given us His undivided attention. He wants to share with us. He wants to speak things into our life and hear from us. He wants to do all these things and impart things into our life. But it's usually us. It's always us if the walk isn't as it should be. And then the walk is not satisfying to us. You know, there's a wonderful story in Scripture, one of my favorites. And it's after Jesus had died on the cross. And I believe the story kind of helps us understand what happens when you're walking with God becomes a walk that is disillusioned, or you've kind of lost hope, or you're confused, or you're maybe even angry and maybe even full of fear and anxieties and doubts. And it was after Jesus had died. And He had risen, but He hadn't appeared really yet to a lot of people. And there's two disciples in Luke 24 walking on the road to Emmaus. And they're walking. And as they're walking, you can kind of guess that their walk is kind of like a very ponderous walk. And you can see in their countenance that they're sad and they're troubled. And the walk is not really joyful. You know, it's a terrible walk. Jesus comes up to them and walks alongside them and he looks over at them and he says to them in 24:17 of Luke, what manner of communications are these? In other words, you're talking, you know, and how they're talking, lamenting and upset, that you have with one another as you walk and are sad. Jesus saw that their walk was not a joyful walk. Now, Jesus continues to walk with them because they say to him, you know, like, wow, you man, don't you know what's been going on all these days? All this stuff that happened about Jesus, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Jesus, as he's walking with them, begins to tell them all the things in Scripture, the Bible says. He gives them this amazing Bible study. He opens up all the Old Testament Scriptures all to talk about him, about Jesus. And I always get this sense that as they're walking, that very slow, ponderous walk, all of a sudden their feet got a little lighter. The steps got a little quicker. And they're really enjoying now this walk. And they're amazed because we can get this from what the text says later. And all of a sudden that walk didn't become so arduous. Now Jesus wanted to keep walking, but they felt that they had to stop because they were getting tired. And they wanted him to stay with them. They didn't want him to continue on his walk. Stay with us. We enjoy walking with you. It's better. And he agreed to go with them. And then when they sat down to get something to eat, when they broke the bread, they realized it was Jesus. And he disappeared from them. And they said in Luke 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? See, that walk that was such a, almost like, you know, this droll death march type of walk became a joyful walk. A walk where their hearts got excited and demand to burn within them as he opened the scriptures to them. So now what did they do? Now they get up and they rose that very hour. Now it's late. They were tired, but now they're so excited about Jesus. They rose up and returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 who were gathered together, and they said, the Lord is risen indeed. They're so full of excitement. I think that they got back to Jerusalem like in half the time they came there. They were just walking. Now this is great. You know why? Because they walked with Jesus and their hearts burned within them and they saw the risen Lord. And they had a beautiful walk together. See, to walk with God, or to walk with anybody, the Bible says this, to walk with anybody. I mean, to have a meaningful walk, you know, a blessed walk. To walk with somebody, the Bible says, and it says this at Amos, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, you can walk with someone you're not agreeing with, but you know what? Usually you stop at some point. You're not going to walk with them anymore, and you want to maybe throw punches or something, but you're not going to walk. I can't walk with you. You know, I don't agree with you. You get on my nerves. But when you agree with somebody and you're in agreement with somebody, you can walk with that person. And when you're walking with God, it means that you have aligned your will with His. You are in agreement with Him about who He is, agreement about your life. You're in agreement about the things in your life that need to change. You're in agreement that He's the right way to walk and He's the right partner to walk with. You come into agreement with Him and you align up with Him and you say, Father, I want to walk with you. Colossians 2:6 says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Now, God is perfect. God is holy. You think, well, how could I fully agree with God? I'm imperfect. I'm not always holy. I'm not walking in holiness as I should be. Well, you know, one of the things is the walk with Jesus, even when we have been saved and we're born again and we have I'll get to this in a minute, the ability to walk back with Him again, it doesn't have to be a perfect walk from our side because we're not perfect. He knows that. He's not expecting us to walk perfectly with Him, but He wants us to walk with Him. He knows that we're just dust. He knows that we're just flesh, but He still desires, even in our imperfections, to walk with us. But our heart's desire, if it's right, then our desire is, Lord, I realize I'm imperfect, but I get the chance to walk with a perfect, holy God, and I desire to walk with you. 1 John 2:6 says, he who says he abides in Him ought to himself also to walk as He walked. To say, Lord, I want to walk and learn from You. I want to walk the way You walk. I want to walk with You. And that's really what discipleship is, you know. Discipleship really is walking with another. We're actually walking in the footsteps of another. It's taking a walk with somebody, and you learn as you walk with them, as you grow with them, as you talk together. And that's the desire. I want to walk as you walk, Jesus. I know I'm not always getting it right, but I want to walk the right way. So it says, you can see, when we see most, I mean, there's times in the Bible when it says walking, and it's just talking about actually walking, ambulatory walking, just, you know, taking a walk. But most, many of the times, it's speaking about our lifestyle. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's a lifestyle change. Not walking in our flesh, but walking in the Spirit. Romans 8, same chapter, verses 4 and 5. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we say, Father, I want to have a walk with you, and I want to be in agreement with you, and I want to walk the way you walk. I want you to teach me and help me to walk this way. Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit, because my flesh keeps me from walking with you as I should. So Father, help me to walk that spiritual walk that you promised that I can. Can walk, that you're going to give me the ability to walk that way, to walk in the Spirit. Now, I have to warn you, as we said earlier, when you're walking with somebody, you have to say no to other things. When you're going to walk and make this commitment to walk with God on a daily basis, there is a cost. There is a cost. There's going to be some things you're going to have to say no to. Romans 13. The night is far spent, the day is in hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. There's things that have to go away. There's things that we have to say, Father, I agree with you. These things are no longer part of my life. They need to get out of my life. So, Lord, I really want to walk with you unimpeded. So, Lord, this stuff's got to go. I recognize the cost. I can't live the way I want to live just for my own sake any longer. See, when we said Psalm 1 at the beginning, right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. There may be some relationships and some situations you need to remove yourself from. The ones who stand in the path of sinners are sitting in the scornful. But his delight is in the the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Then you'll be like that tree that bears fruit and grows. So we want to eliminate from our lives anything and everything that doesn't enhance our walk with Jesus. We want to get rid of everything that keeps us from walking, not walking with him as we should. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us, it doesn't say walk here, but let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So Lord, I need these things that are keeping me down, they're slowing me down, Lord. I can't keep up and I can't walk as I should. Lord, I want these things to go so I can keep pace with you. So Lord, let me walk with you so that whatever I do glorifies you. See, when we have that type of relationship with God and that walk with God, you know what we begin to see? We understand that the world's going to see something different in us. The more we walk with Jesus, the more we talk with Jesus as we're walking with Jesus, the more we're going to become like Jesus. The prayer of Paul for the Colossian church, which is also for us, is that he prays, would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh Lord, I want to bear good fruit. Well, you're not going to bear good fruit unless you're walking with him, unless you're spending time with him, unless you're becoming like him. I remember reading, and you remember too, in the book of Acts, that Peter and John were called in front of the council, the same group that had just a short time before sentenced Jesus to death. And they called them, they forbid them to speak in his name any longer. No, you can't talk about Jesus, you can't speak about Jesus anymore. And you know what's interesting? That when they looked at them, when they looked at Peter and John, when they looked at them and they said, you know, these guys don't speak anymore, they looked at them and they noticed, they said, that they had been with Jesus. They recognized them, that they looked different. They were acting different. And they did that because, not because they just spent 3 years physically walking with Jesus, but as they walked alongside Jesus, as they took this entire walk with him to the point of the cross and his resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit into their lives and the desire they have now to live their lives walking like Jesus, they said, they're different. They're different. Now, I found it interesting this morning as I was actually just finishing up before I left, you know, to come over here. It was really interesting because it just like dawned on me that as they are looking at them and they realized that they were different, that they were not like them. They realized they had been with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. They spent time walking with Jesus. It was on the heels of them doing a wonderful miracle where they made a lame man walk. I said, oh, that's kind of interesting, Lord. They were able to speak in your name, and this man who was lame from birth, he was able to walk on his feet. And as the people saw that man, I put it in my scriptures, it says, and all the people saw him, that man, walking and praising God. It was for that reason they were called to the council. But when the council looked at them, they said, oh, they walked with Jesus. They're just like that other guy. See, when we walk with Jesus, we have faith that we can accomplish even miraculous things. And you know, yes, maybe we're not going to every necessarily lay a hands on a blind man that they'll see, or a lame man to walk, but maybe we will. But we'll do miraculous things. We'll be able to overcome the life's challenges, things that are impossible, things that we say we can't do. But as you walk with Jesus, you're finding that you're able to walk in these ways that you can overcome these life circumstances, these life challenges. And I think of so many times about the story about Peter. He saw Jesus walking on the water. And that's amazing, but not so amazing because Jesus is God. We kind of expect he could do that. But Peter, in faith, cried out, Lord, call me out to walk with you. And when Peter was walking in faith, he stepped out of that boat, and this human being, this man, began to walk on the water because of his faith in Jesus. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. And then when he looked away and he took his eyes off Jesus, then he began to sink. But you know what? When he was walking in faith, he did the miraculous. But see, this is a choice we, you and I, have to make every day. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So Amos says, can they walk together? Well, guess what? We can't walk with Jesus unless we're in agreement with him. And you know how that starts? The agreement starts this way. Maybe you have done this already, but maybe you have not. The first step to be able to walk with Jesus, because remember, back in the garden, God wanted to walk with them, but then the walk was interrupted because of what? Three-letter word? Sin. That's in everybody's life. It keeps them from walking with God as he desires. The first thing you have to do is come into agreement with God and say, God, I can't walk with you. I'm a sinner. And when God knows you agree with that, then he's also going to let you know, I know you are. That's why I came from heaven to walk on this earth, to die for you. And if you will accept my forgiveness and you'll be washed by the precious blood I shed on the cross for you, that you will receive my forgiveness by faith, then I will cleanse your sin and wash your sin away, and then you can enjoy a walk with me. Because we're in agreement now. Because you've repented. You changed your mind. God was right all along. We were wrong, and now we are agreed because we say, God's been right all along! I need to be saved. I need to be born again. And we agree with God, and we're saved and born again, and now we can walk with God. See, Isaiah said, your iniquities have separated from your God. Well, we got to deal with that first to be in agreement with God. And then once we come to that agreement with God, we're able now to walk with God as he desires. But then you and I many times get distracted on our walk. We get bored in our walk. It just becomes repetitious. And it becomes a religious walk, not a dynamic fellowship, friendship walk. And we say, I don't feel like walking today, God. Do you mind going by yourself? I got some things I got to take care of, God. I found another partner that I'm enjoying walking with. Oh, Lord, help us. See, we have to make a choice every day. Who will we be walking with? Who do we want to walk with? One of the saddest scriptures in all of the Bible, and I'm getting ready to close and we're going to come to the Lord's table. One of the saddest scriptures in all of the Bible is from the Gospel of John, where Jesus was walking on the earth and he had many people following him and walking with him. Many, many disciples. He out-discipled John the Baptist. They were all coming to Jesus now. And Jesus got to the point with when he saw these crowds, and it actually calls them disciples because they were, from the standpoint of, they were disciples in the way that they wanted to follow this man. They wanted to walk with this man. And they didn't care if they were in a crowd of 10,000 or more. They didn't care if they were walking out into a deserted place. They didn't care that they didn't pack enough stuff for lunch. They said, we're just going to follow this guy. We're going to walk with this guy. And it was getting hungry. And you know the thing? Jesus said to the disciples, feed them. Yeah, they're going to. So they fed them. And then they came back the next morning to walk with Jesus again because they said, ooh, we get walk and we get breakfast too, at dinner too. Now we come back, we can walk for breakfast. This is good. And they did, they wanted to keep following this guy because it just meant some, you know, thing about their life that they felt like they needed, like a full belly and some good stories. And once in a while, some miracles, like feeding us all with a couple loaves and fishes. This is really cool. So Jesus, knowing their hearts, really wanted to know if they really did want to walk with him. So he starts to give them the real hard teachings about himself, about what it means to follow God and the exclusivity of following him, that you need to follow him exclusively and you have to go his path, not your path. When they wanted Jesus to do the things they wanted him to do, to entertain them or to do something else, Jesus says, no, 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 this is the road. You got to follow me. The road is narrow. It's a beautiful road. It's the best road. It's the only road that you're going to be blessed on, but it's narrow. Will you follow me on this road? And they were like, So when Jesus refused to give in to their whims, when he gave them the hard teachings of what it meant to truly be a disciple, a walker with Jesus, John 6:66 says this, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Whew. Now you might say, wait, you're preaching that I can lose my salvation. Listen, let's be careful here because I know some of you just lost the whole message because of that one line I just read. I know, that's what happened. Whoop! Okay, this was before the cross. Nobody was born again yet. He didn't die for the sins of the world yet. The Holy Spirit didn't come into their lives. No, so this is prior to the cross. But the principle remains the same. It's a choice. Will you walk with him or will you walk not with him? Will you go his way, meaning by the way of the cross? And then once you go by way of the cross, will you say then, Lord, it's no longer I that live, but you live in me, so I got to walk your way now. Will you make that choice? Will you come to him first and become the child of God and being born again so you can properly walk with him? And then once you walk with him, will you make a daily decision to say, Lord, let me walk close with thee. Let me walk close with thee. So from Genesis all the way through the Bible, even before we get to the book of Revelation, right? Scripture consistently shows that God wants to walk with us. He created us to walk with him, to live with him, to flourish in his presence. Emmanuel, God with us. So I'll ask you as we close, do you have the capability to walk with God? The privilege, the permission to walk with God? Have you had your sins washed away? Have you agreed with God that you can't walk with him because your sin is still keeping you from your God? If that's your state right now, I'm going to tell you something. You might want to walk with God, but you can't. You're disqualified because of your sin. Will you agree with God that you're a sinner? Will you agree with God that he's a holy God? Will you agree with God that holy God wants you and died for you to pay that penalty? And will you agree that you need to be saved and born again? That's the first step. If you agree, then walk with him. But if you've made that choice and now you're qualified, you can walk with God now, will you decide daily will I walk with him. Will I be excited about walking with him? I don't want to be like those other disciples and only walk with him when it suits my needs or when I need him or when I want something from him. But no, I want to walk with him daily. And he will grant that walk with you. He will light your every step. He will love for you to walk with him and dispel every fear and doubt and the potential of boredom and repetition, because it won't be. Walking with God is exciting and dynamic, and his presence will bless every moment of that walk. Last scripture, Revelation 21. So you could choose to walk with him no more, or you can choose this. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And look at verse 24. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. What's your choice today? Do you want to walk with him now and be qualified? Do you want to walk with him once you're qualified every day of your life? And do you want to walk like Enoch till one day you just go home and you walk with him for all eternity? That's a decision you have to make for yourself. But I hope you choose to walk. We're going to walk up to the table in a moment. I'm going to come down. We're going to have communion together. As we're walking up, we can start by singing just a closer walk with thee. You know, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. So let's do that as we get together. I'll be singing in your seats, and when we come down, we'll come up.